is not here last week, and hence I want to wish all of you a happy new year, and I pray that it will go very well with every one of you this year, 2012. I want to share with you something that's on my heart, and you know, generally we wish everyone a happy new year, but I often wonder with how many it really goes well. But now and then when I hear different brothers say, "Brother, last year was a good year," oh, that delights my heart. Last Wednesday, I think I heard one or two brothers say, 2011 was a good year. And honestly, to tell you the truth, that's blessed my heart. And how much more, brothers and sisters, Lord, God longs that it will go well with us. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, a verse from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. I would like you to turn to these verses and lay hold of these verses and understand the heart of God for all of us as we face another year. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command this day, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days upon the earth, which the Lord your God gives you forever. I want to underline that verse. It says, God's longing is that it may go well with you. And this verse comes again and again. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Why? That it might be well with them and with the children forever. And again, verse 33, same chapter. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which shall possess. And chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel. I wish I can say it. Hear, O church. And observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. And verse 18 in the same chapter. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. And in case you still didn't get it till now, there's one more verse in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. Oh, it excites my heart as I read this portions. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28. Observe and hear all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. They looked at 6 verses this morning to convince us it is God's will for all of us, brothers and sisters, that it should go very well with us in this coming year, 2012. I don't know how it went with you last year, but in case it did not go well with you, you know what you should do? I'll give you some homework. When you go home, maybe before you have your special lunch, write down in a piece of paper, find out why it did not go so well with you in last year. Examine your life, where you did not honor the Lord, where you did not obey the Lord, and take some corrective action so that you don't waste another year. I really mean what I say. If you are serious about it going well with you, after you go home, take a few minutes off and say, Lord, why it did not go well with me last year? Where did I hinder you, your work in me? And let me take some definite action so that I can do something that you can bless me this year. And you will find, when you take some positive action, God will honor you, brothers and sisters. But I want to share with you this morning, God's heart is that it should go well with you. I hope you are convinced about it this morning. Go home and think over these verses till it goes into your heart. Don't just say, oh brother, I don't know how it's going to go this year. I believe you should be able to say, I trust God, it's going to go well with me. I believe God this year. And even if you have failed the Lord last year, you can repent thoroughly and confess your sins and ask the blessing of the Lord to come on you so that this year it can be a different story. So that when you come to the end of 2012, you can say, God caused it to go well with me this year. And I believe that honors the Lord more than this old covenant testimony. God is faithful, I've been unfaithful. I'm sick and tired of hearing that testimony. You know, I've been unfaithful last year, but God's faithful. It's true, God is faithful. But I believe God wants to make us faithful also, brothers and sisters. He wants to give us a new song so that we can say, He's changing me. I'm not the same what I was last year. Oh, may the Lord give us grace to really cooperate with the Lord, that the Lord can bless us mightily this year. When we come to the end of the year, we can say, Lord, I praise you for what you did for me in 2012. Okay, if you want the Lord, if you want it to go well with you, you got to do something specific. I just want to share with you what you should do so that it can go well with you. In Ephesians chapter 5, there's a lovely verse. He says in verse 14 onwards, Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest. In other words, we should not be sleeping. If you are spiritually sleeping, the Lord says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See, if you repent and turn around and say, Lord, I don't want to be a sleepy Christian, I want you to give me light, and the Lord will give you light. And then it says, yes, see then that you walk circumspectly or wisely, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And again it says, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you want it to go well with you, brothers and sisters, you know what you should do? Redeem the time. Make the most of your time. Don't be foolish. When you waste time, you are foolish. You know, I often hear many brothers and sisters say that old expression, brother, I don't have time. I don't have time. I don't have time to read the word. I don't have time to pray. Some people don't have time to come to the meetings. Some people say, I don't have time for fellowship. I'm so busy. You know what we are saying? I am foolish. And the Bible says, don't be foolish. Walk wisely. In other words, how can I save time this year? How can I have right priorities? If you're watching all the time the TV, and all the time on the internet, and all the time wasting time with your friends, definitely you will be amongst the foolish, and you will say, oh brother, I don't have time. But I believe God has given all of us 24 hours. And the wise man is the one who saves time. A few minutes here, a few minutes there, and all of us will have enough time for everything that God's commanded us to do. You know what we should do? Suppose you're traveling in a bus, you can be looking at the window here and there. I'm not saying you should not look at the window, but that's how you waste time. Your sisters, while you're cooking the rice, maybe it's on the stove, maybe you've got 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, you can read something. I'm not saying you should burn your food. That's not the point. The point is you can save time here and there. And God will give you wisdom how you can save time. I really believe we waste so much time. And that's the reason we have not grown in the Lord. That's why it's not gone so well. And I believe in this coming year, we should not be amongst those who say, I don't have time. We should say, I want to change my priorities so that I have time for God's word, for fellowship, and all that is right and proper. I hope we learn to, just like we're all very wise to save money. I don't have to give an exhortation. Brother, save money. Because all of us by nature, we are very, very wise. We know how to cut down, how to save money. We got worldly wisdom. But somehow when it comes to time, we waste so much of time. Oh, may the Lord give us grace this year to be faithful in the use of our time. Brothers and sisters, young and old, every day grab some time. Grab some time for fellowship. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, you have any time for fellowship with the brothers and sisters? Or you're so busy that you don't have any time for the brothers and sisters? I want to say that's not God's will. Take time. Find time. The busy man finds time. And oh, may the Lord help us to turn from all foolishness this year and make the most of a time so that at the end of the year we can say, God gave me grace not to waste 2012. I sought to honor God. And you'll find you can accomplish more for the Lord this year than in all the past years. And I hope you'll take it to your heart. And there's a lovely verse here in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 13 and 14, the Living Bible. Proverbs chapter 24. It says in the Living Bible, enjoy becoming wise. Then you will have a bright future. There's hope for you. What a fantastic verse for us, brothers and sisters, as we begin another year. Maybe I'll read it for you again. Living Bible, Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14. When you enjoy becoming wise, there's hope for you. Don't say this, I'm hopeless, brother. There's hope for you if you'll turn from all foolishness and say, I want to enjoy becoming wise. See, the bright future lies ahead. Oh, I really wish that it'll go very well with you this year. And then it says again in Proverbs chapter 23. We've looked at it many times, 17. In the Living Bible again it says, don't envy evil men, but continue to reverence the Lord all the time. For surely you have a wonderful future ahead of you. There's hope for you yet. You know, as we face another year, I don't say many things about tomorrow. I don't understand. I mean, if you take it the right way, that's fine. But I don't despair. I say it's going to go well with me. God's got a wonderful future for me. Isn't it good to face the future like that, brothers and sisters? I'm going to do God's will this year. I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to take my Christian life seriously. And to such people I can say, there is future for you. And there's a wonderful future. There's a bright future for you. And then again it says in Psalm 37, verse 37. Again it says in the Living Bible, Psalm 37, verse 37. Says here, mark the blameless man and behold upright, for the man of peace. See, he has a wonderful future. That's what it says in the Living Bible. Yeah. For the good man, the blameless, the upright, the man of peace, he has a wonderful future ahead of him. For him there's a happy ending. Oh, I'm really encouraged by these verses. And one more verse, we have looked at it recently, but we don't mind looking at it again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Do you want to see good days in 2012? It says here, for he that will love life and see good days. I want to see good days. I want you also to see good days, brothers and sisters. But there is a condition. It doesn't happen automatically. It says here, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If you want it to go well with you, watch your tongue this year. Say, Lord, please help me, Lord. I don't want to sin with my tongue. I want to be careful with my speech. And turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue after it. Then it says, the eyes of the Lord are the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. brothers and sisters, God can listen to your prayers. If you say, Lord, I wasted my time, but this year I'm not going to be foolish. I'm not going to waste my time. I want to redeem the time. And I want to fear you and turn away from sin and evil. I want to give my life to you. And I can say based on God's word that you can have a bright future this year, brothers and sisters. And one more thing I want to show you for this coming year. This prayer of the psalmist. As we face the future, Psalm 16. Verse. Maybe we can read from verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Then it says here, thou wilt show me the path of life. You know what's my design for you this year, brothers and sisters? I hope you will say, Lord, show me the path of life. In this path of life, there's no spiritual decay. There's no stagnation. There's no discouragement. I want the Lord to lead me in that path. I hope you will say, Lord, I want this path of life. You know, I often think of children. When the children are healthy, you see them running around, full of life, active. And the same children when they're sick, oh, they just lie down on the bed. And you know, the home also becomes so dull. And in the same way, when we have life, and when we walk the path of life, others can see this life in this brother and sister. Or we can see some brothers and sisters, their spiritual death. Oh, maybe say, Lord, I don't want spiritual death in my life this year, not even for one day. I hope and say, Lord, show me, Lord, the path of life. I don't want to stagnate. I don't want to be stale. I don't want to be dry. You know, that verse we have looked at for many years. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the just is like a bright light, bright shining light that shines brighter and brighter. I wish I can hear many brothers and sisters who can testify. I want to walk on the path of the righteous. I believe it's going to shine. It's going to get better and better with me. We don't hear so many good testimonies like that, excepting the Lord helped me to find a partner, the Lord helped me to get a job. That's all good. But we should be able to testify better in the coming year. I have begun to walk in the path of righteousness. And it's getting brighter. Brighter every day. I hope it will be like that this coming year. Like Psalmist David says, Psalm 23 verse 3, He leads me in the path of righteousness. I hope we can also say, God's going to lead me in the path of righteousness, and it's going to get much better with me. And you know, that's the path of progress, brothers and sisters. Every day can be a day of progress. Path of glory. The Holy Spirit works in us from and changes us from glory to glory. And that's the path of faithfulness. And that's the path of fruitfulness. And that's the path of humility. Oh, I hope we can say, Lord, I want to walk in your paths. And there's a lovely verse again in Psalm 37, verse 34. I was blessed by this verse this morning. Psalm 37, verse 34. Maybe I'll read to you from the Living Bible. It comes very clearly in the Living Bible. Psalm 37, verse 34. Keep traveling, or don't be impatient for the Lord, keep traveling steadily along His pathway, and in due season He will honor you with every blessing. Brothers and sisters, I hope we can all say this morning, I'm going to keep traveling steadily in the path that God has ordained for me. The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, it says. And in due season, He will honor me with every blessing. When you come to the end of the year, we can say, God's blessed me this year. God's honored me this year. Because I walked in the path of righteousness. Because I walked in the path of life. Oh, maybe say, it says in Deuteronomy 11:21, I think you all heard last Sunday, your days will be like days of heaven on earth, it says. Brothers and sisters, you can be heavenly minded this year. You can be spiritually minded. Enoch walked with God 365 years. Why can't we walk with the Lord 365 days? Every year, Lord, I want to walk with you. Like we sing the song, just a closer walk with you, Lord Jesus, daily walking close to you. Are you close to the Lord this morning? You can walk close to the Lord this year. You can choose. You can make your own decision. I often think of the Sunday school song we used to sing. I love them. Walking with Jesus. Walking every day. Walking all the way. Walking in the sunshine. Walking in the shadow. Walking with Jesus alone. We want to demonstrate to this world that walking with Jesus is not boring. Walking with Jesus is exciting. And we used to sing an old song that we don't sing nowadays. We have found the way on earth to heavenly blessedness. I hope there'll be a big army of brothers who can say, I want to praise the Lord, I found that way. We have found the way on earth to heavenly blessedness. No trial, no human being, not even the devil can take us away from that path of life, the path of joy, walking after the Lord. Oh, maybe say, Lord, I want to walk in the path of life. Show me, Lord, the path of life. And then every day can become glorious for you in 2012. Can I hear an amen for them, friends and sisters? We're not sleeping. I see not all are awake. And number three, if you want it to go well with you, you know, there's one more thing you got to do. Let God's word quicken you. See, read in Psalm 119. I would encourage you when you get home, when you get time, read Psalm 119. And I know what you're saying in your heart. Brother, that's the longest psalm. It's got 176 verses. But you know you can finish it within half an hour, shall I tell you? Read it again and again. And you know what is the cry of the psalmist? Quicken me, Lord! Renew me, Lord! Revive me! See, verse 25. I'll quickly take you. 25. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken me according to your word. Verse 50. This is my comfort in affliction. Your word has quickened me or renewed me. It says in the margin. Verse 88. Quicken me after your loving kindness. So shall I keep your testimony of your mouth. 93. I will never forget your precepts, for with them you quickened me. Verse 90. 93 I finished. 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your word. 149. O Lord, quicken me according to your judgment. 154. Quicken me according to your word. 156. Quicken me according to your judgments. And 159. Consider how I love your precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Brothers and sisters, if you want to go well with you this year, let the word of the Lord quicken you, bring life to you, renew you. And you know David, who wrote the psalm, oh, God's word was a delight. I want to take you again quickly through verse 16. See what he says in Psalm 119:16. I will delight myself in your statutes. Verse 35. For make me to go in the path of your commandments, therein do I delight. 47. Oh, and I will delight myself in your commandments. 77. Your law is my delight. Verse 92, unless your law had been my delight, I should have perished in my affliction. 111, the testimonies, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. 143, your commandments are my delight. You know, when God's word is not your delight, music can become your delight, your friends can become your delight, something of the world can become your delight. Oh, in this 2012, may you say, Lord, help me to find my delight in your word. And you know, in 162 days, the psalmist says, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. And verse 18, Help open my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. You know, many brothers and sisters, even if you don't say, many people, at least many people say, oh brother, I don't get much from God's word. Is God's word boring for you? You know why? That means something else other than the Lord and his word is, something else is interesting for you. Oh, maybe you say, Lord, give me a soft and a tender heart and a good heart that can rejoice in your word, that you can quicken your word to me, that you can reveal your word to me. You know, it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. But yet in the same chapter, it says verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. And then it says, verse 21, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Oh, maybe you say, Lord, reveal your word to me. Teach me your word this year. Make your word interesting to me, Lord. Work in me mightily, Lord, by your word. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, 2012 will not be boring for you if God's word becomes very, very interesting. The Lord can continuously renew you and quicken you and help you and bless you. You know, it's got to do with you. It all depends on you. How 2012 is going to go? Oh, that's my longing. I say, Lord, you've given 66 books in the Bible. I want all the books to go deep into my heart. I want the word of God to have the greatest impression on my life. And I say, Lord, work in my heart. Give me a soft heart, Lord. Take away all the hardness in my heart. And then, brothers and sisters, you start bearing 30%, 60%, and 100% by the end of 2012. And you will not regret that you allowed God's word to have a powerful effect on your life. And let's change your priorities. And let's make time for God's word this year so that God's word becomes interesting. And I don't have time to show you more verses. It says how God's word made him wiser, the psalmist says, than the teachers, than the aged people. God's word can really change your life if you let God work in you. Okay, number four. This year, you want it to go well with you? It says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice that I heard this as it were a trumpet talking with me, which I said, come up higher. You know that phrase again, Revelation 11, 12 and 17, 1. Come up higher. I hope you'll say, Lord, this 2012, I want to come up higher, Lord, spiritually. Will you pray like that, Lord? I want to mount up with the eagles. I don't want to just, Lord, be like a chicken looking at the ground, trying to get some food. Mount up with wings of eagles. Keep growing spiritually. Come up higher this year spiritually so that your progress is evident to all, that many brothers this can look at you and say, this brother is growing in the Lord. In Ephesians 6 it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of your might, power of his might. Ephesians 6. The Lord, it's not God's will, brothers and sisters, that you should be a weak brother this year. Be a strong brother, be strong in the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. And it says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham he was 20. It says he grew strong in faith. He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Can you say this here, Lord, I want to grow strong in faith. I don't want to be a unstable, double-minded brother. See, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Lord, I want to be stable and steady. I want to grow strong in faith, giving glory to you. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1, it says, be strong in grace. I hope you say, Lord, I don't care what happens. I want to be strong in grace. And 1 John 2 says, you're strong because the word of God abides in you. Oh, as we let the word of God work in us, brothers and sisters, this year you can be strong in the Lord like never before in all the past years. And you know, when Lazarus, Jesus went to raise up Lazarus, after praying, Jesus said to Lazarus, come forth. Oh, I pray that this new year, all the hidden talents and hidden potentials will come forth and say, Lord, I want to be all that you want me to be. I want to come up higher in my life. Oh, may God help us not only in your personal life, brothers and sisters, in your family life, and also in terms of ministry. Don't say, I don't have any ministry. Can't you come on time in 2012? Why not? You want to be late again this year? You know, it all depends on your attitude. I find some people just don't care. No matter what you say, brother, you can say what you like, I'm going to come late. I can't help it, brothers and sisters. I leave it to you. But you want things to change. You want it to go well with you. Say, next week, I'm not going to come late to the meeting. Never mind. I was telling my wife today, I said, I don't care if you don't have lunch. We'll go out and eat. I'll eat curd rice on Sunday. I don't want to go late to the meeting. You've got to do something, brothers and sisters. I want to tell you, you've got to change your priorities. It's not going to go well with you automatically. The Lord sees your attitude. If you say, I was looking at the church this morning. We had a lot of visitors in time, but many brothers and sisters, probably they were getting the breakfast ready or lunch ready. Yeah, I want to tell you, you change your attitude, it'll go well with you. I can't force you. Even the Lord Himself won't force you, but if you make it your priority, Lord, your house, I must go early to the meeting. I must at least be on time. I want to honor you this year. Take some positive action. Say, Lord, I want to serve you much better than last year. I want to prophesy and bless the church. Will you say, Lord, I want to give myself to you. I want to give myself to the word. I want to give myself to the church. How can I serve the church better? And you can be a wise and a faithful steward so that at the end of the year you can say, the Lord can say to you, well then, good and faithful servant, you did not waste 2012. I gave you 365 days. You were not foolish. You sought to honor me. And oh, maybe get the commendation of the Lord at the end of the year, brothers and sisters. And if you keep going like that, it will definitely get better and better. And then in closing, you know, you got to do your part. If you do your part, God will do His part. You know what is your part? It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 22, keep yourself pure. God's not going to do that for you. You got to do that. You can't be going, you can't just be watching all that you want and then expect the Lord to keep you. 1 John 5:21 it says, keep yourself from idols. And James 1:27 it says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. And Jude 21 it says, keep yourself in the love of God. And when you do that, He's able, then He will keep you from stumbling and falling. Brothers and sisters, we got to do our part faithfully. And the Lord is faithful to do His part. And when you do your part, it says in Revelation chapter 3 verse 10, the Lord says, I will also keep you from the hour of testing. He says, let us lay aside every sin and weight and hindrance. Who's going to do that? I was asking in a meeting some days ago. And suddenly one sister says, God. I said, no, read that verse again. He says, let us lay aside every weight and sin and hindrance. You find out what's hindering you. You lay it aside. God will not do that for you. And then, as we face 2012, I'm not saying it's going to be a comfortable year. Jesus Himself said, in the world you shall have tribulation. So let me tell you, brothers and sisters, in 2012, you're going to have tribulation and trials. But, be of good cheer. The Lord says, I overcome the world. And one more verse in Psalm 138, verse 7. It's a lovely verse that encouraged my heart. I thought I'll pass it on to you this morning. Psalm 138, verse 7. It says in the Living Bible very nicely. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I am surrounded by troubles, You will bring me safely through them. What a fantastic verse. 2012, no matter what trials come, God's going to safely bring me through. And verse 8, the Lord will work out His plans for my life. Oh, what a wonderful way to look at 2012. Not many things about tomorrow, I don't understand. No, you say, every day is going to work out well for me. Every day is going to go well with me. Every day the Lord will keep me from falling. And I close with this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse, that's our favorite verse, but I believe you've got to keep on saying that till it sinks into us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, you may say, oh brother, I'm afraid I may get a very, very difficult trial. You want to believe God's word or the lie of the devil? It says, our light affliction, so all the affliction is going to be light. And it is for a moment. Brothers and sisters, I hope you'll put the devil to shame. I'm going to get trials which are within my ability, which they're all light, and it's only for a short time. But they're going to work for me exceeding eternal weight of glory. Oh, may you say, Lord, I don't want to be a foolish man, grumbling, complaining, wasting my time. No, I'm going to trust the Lord, I'm going to cooperate with the Lord, and I'm going to let the Lord work in me so that by end of 2000, you can say, God who began a good work in me, completed that in 2012. And it was not a waste. I did not waste. The Bible says, do not frustrate the grace of God. Oh, may we cooperate with the Lord. May we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. May we cooperate with God's Word. And may it go very, very well with you this year. And again, it depends on you, brothers and sisters. Don't think it's automatic. It is not automatic. You do your part, and God will do your part. May the Lord bless you all mightily this year. Amen.
We have been reminded and shown the path of life that we can walk in 2012. And like the psalmist David said, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And let's really think that as we heard, it will go well with us. And ask the Lord to lead us. We'll sing one verse of this song, lead us, Lord, onward, Lord, as our eyes are fixed on you. Plant our footsteps firmly, Lord, to walk with you. Take us, Lord, further, Lord, as our hands reach out to you. Lift us higher, Lord, our hearts reach out to you. Let it be at the end of 2012 we would have gone further along this path of life. Let it be that we would have gone higher. Let's stand up and sing the first verse and the chorus of the song, and then we will hear Brother Charles. Sing in faith and really believe that this is going to be a wonderful year for you, and it's going to be better than 2011. Amen. Very feeble. Praise the Lord. Sing in faith.
Lead us, Lord, onward, Lord, and the rise of faith on you. Plant our footsteps firmly, Lord, to walk with you. Take us, Lord, further, Lord, as our hands reach out to you. Lift us higher, Lord, our hearts reach out to you. Promise.
Please take your seats. Brother Charles, over to you.
I was amazed this morning to know that God says so many times that it is His heart's desire that it go well with us. Thank you, Brother Newton. It was so good to hear you this morning and be reminded of God's will, that it is God's will that He wants it to go very well with each one of us. And in case we didn't know that, many times we have that feeling that in the old covenant, God was a very strict God, and you know, God always frowning on us and beat us with, you know, blap on the bottoms if we do anything wrong like that. We have that kind of picture about God the Father in the old covenant. But when we come to the new covenant, we have a different idea about God, that it is as though God has become a Santa Claus in the new covenant. He is not. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, it says. And almost in the last book of the old covenant, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. And the Lord says that I want it to go well with you. I don't want you to waste your time on earth. I want it to go well with you. You know, in the corporate world where we work, there is a thing called self-assessment, or at the end of the year, we have our assessments. Forms are given, and sometimes we assess ourselves and then it goes to the boss. If self-assessment is not there, the form goes to the boss directly, and the boss assesses our progress as to how we have fared in the previous year, whether we are eligible for promotion or increment or incentive, etc. In the same way, in school and colleges also, at the end of the year, they have exams, just not to fail you, but to promote you. And if you've done well, it will go well with you and you'll be promoted. And the Word of God says, we are very familiar with this verse in Jeremiah 29, just in case we didn't know what are God's plans for us. It says here in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity. God's plans for us, the Lord declares, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And it doesn't come just like that. There is a condition attached with almost every promise that we need to fulfill that. There it says in the next verse, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you, and so on. So we know that God always intends well for us. He told the same thing to Cain when Cain was in trouble. He said, if you intend well, it can go well with you too. Why your countenance is fallen? You know, God has given each one of us 24 hours exactly. And there is no partiality with God. He has given 24 hours. He credits 24 hours in the morning to us. And we need to make the best use of it. Some people make the best use of it. Some people just blow it away. There is a saying in the world that, while others were sleeping, his friends were sleeping, and this man kept on climbing the hill. And he went on climbing, and one day he reached the peak. And such are the ones who, you know, make the most of their time. And the rest, they sleep, they while away their time, and they waste their life. At the end of our life, when we stand before the Lord, we have to give an account of what we have done, what have you spoken, what have you thought? It says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 2 Corinthians 13, the heading of this chapter, it says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. It is good for us to examine ourselves daily. Many of us, we examine ourselves when we come to the Lord's table, or maybe at the end of the year, we examine. But it says here, examine yourself, and we just read that verse in Psalm, live in the fear of the Lord all day long. That means 365 days in a year. This year, 366 days. Live in the fear of the Lord all day long. It says here in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. And again it says in verse 6, I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test, that you be made complete. That we don't fail the test. It is God's will that we examine, keep on examining ourselves. I mean, I don't mean always wrecking our brain and digging up and looking inside and get discouraged. But the Lord wants us to see, or is it's as if like we read in Psalm 16 verse 8, I have kept the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. If we need to be strong in the Lord and not shaken like a reed by the wind, then we need to keep the Lord always before us, in front of our eyes, so that we are always strong. It says in Psalm 130, verse 4, Psalm 130, but there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. We fear God. I mean, God forgives us so that we fear Him. Not that we just go to Him always for forgiveness. He forgives, no doubt, but that He may be feared. God forgives us and forgives us so that we may learn to fear Him. It is the fear of the Lord that keeps us from sinning. When Joseph was tempted to sin, he said, how can I do such a thing against God? How can I sin against God, he said. And mind you, he was living in the old covenant when the law was not given. There was no law called thou shalt not commit adultery. Even if he had committed, it says whatever people did in the past, the Bible says that God overlooked their sins. In the very next chapter, we read about his brother, his own brother Judah. He sinned, but his younger brother Joseph didn't sin, because he said, how can I do this against God? He was living in the presence of God, even though he was in a foreign country where there was no fellowship, no law for him, no written law. Yet he, you know, succeeded, and the Lord was able to lift him up. And we read in, there is a verse in Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. This is the reason why many of us sin and take sin very lightly. It says here, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly. That means, because God doesn't punish us immediately when we sin, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. We read in the world day in and day out in the newspaper how corrupt politicians and corrupt hardcore criminals, they sin and get along and they go inside jails and come out and then again, you know, they flourish. Because the judgment is not meted out immediately. Because it is delayed, for instance, we have seen some of these assassins who have assassinated our prime ministers and big shots. They were in jail for a number of years because the execution was delayed. So because of this, men's heart turned to do evil, more and more evil. If it was like in the days of the early church where God struck down Ananias and Sapphira immediately, as soon as they sinned, just imagine what will be the condition of today's church. Probably there will be hardly anybody left. All the hypocrites will be out and only few people with fear and trembling, they will come to the church of God to worship Him. I hope and pray that in the this year that God has given us, that we will live in the fear of God all day long and that we will make real, genuine progress, not before the face of men, but before the face of God alone, so that at the end of the year and at the end of our life, God may say, well done.